take the 30 minutes that is left and read some of it, because it fits. It fits. And right after all of that, and you know, and I just want to pick this up. And this pursuit of expectation is the story, actually, of Elisha following Elijah from town to town. And we're going to start here with Bethel. Now their journey begins at Gilgal. I want to deal here with the church. I'm just reading this. The church in its universal sense and the church in its local sense. I want to deal with the body of Christ. Bethel, and again, let me say that this story begins in 2 Kings, the first chapter. And what we're doing is seeing, because the beginning of this book tells that, what we're doing is seeing Elisha as a type of the church, which I do not distinguish now from the church which is his body, the body of Christ, following after Elijah, who is here in representation of the head, which is Christ. So we have this union, and this can also be a union between Christ and the believer, but Elisha here is not simply representing a believer, he's representing all believers in Christ. He's representing the church. He's representing the body of Jesus Christ. He is going to receive the mantle. He is going to manifest that expression of Elijah. It is going to find its increase in him, in fact. The works that I do, you shall do more. It's going to find its increase in him as you read the whole story. So Elisha here stands, yes, as a believer. Yes, all right. But as that corporate expression of Christ, the church. Bethel is referring to the house of God. They go from one place and then they come to Bethel. And so here we're confronted with the church, the body of Christ. It is amazing to me when I hear someone say that I do not embrace or believe in the local body of Christ. To me, that is a most outrageous statement. Now, statements could be made as to who and what I think the local body is, because I don't call everything that gathers in local buildings a body. I don't call everything that gathers under a tree or in a living room a local body. To me, the local body is nothing less than a local expression of, can I use the term universal body? Now, let me just use these terms, though in the Bible there is no such thing as universal. There is just the body of Christ. It is understood to be throughout the earth or universal, but the only true manifestation of that body is through local expressions or, shall we say, local churches. They give definition and expression and manifestation to the body of Christ. Or at least that's what the local church is. It's a gathering of people set in order by the Spirit of God under proper leadership so as to express the body of Christ in that place, out from which can come expressions from that place even to the ends of the world as far as that goes. So I do have some definite opinions that I feel are given by the Lord's Spirit and verified in the revelation of Jesus concerning what a local body is and what it takes to constitute a local body. But to say that I don't believe in the local body is an absurdity. I think that all ministry is given to the body of Christ, but that all ministry is given to function through these local expressions of that body, and that all ministry finds its subjection one to another in the local body. Do I have a pastor? Yes, I have a pastor. I have several brethren that I consider to be in that relationship with me, to whom I'm submitted. Though I consider myself to be part of the whole body of Christ, and I'm given to that whole body in ministry, I'm given to that whole body in ministry through the local expressions of that body. Now, it doesn't make any difference to me if those local expressions are in a living room or church building or an auditorium or meeting under a bush. But the only way I can minister to the body of Christ is through a local manifestation of that body. And I'm very particular about that. Now, the term body is found in the Strong's Concordance under Strong's number 4983, means the church universal. It has to do with the church of which Christ is the head, members all of one body, the one body of Christ, united in one body, all in one body. It has to do with all believers. 1 Corinthians 12:5, that are all baptized into one body. It means the church, the body of Christ. It's just that, His very own body. Where the term body of Christ is used throughout the Scripture, it is generally referring to that one body of Christ, of which Christ is the head, that one body of which we are all, into which we are all set and baptized, that one body which is to grow up into Him and manifest His fullness. But wherever the specifics of that manifestation are talked about, it refers to the church. And there's references here that I'll not take time to read. Ephesians 1 is one of them, the church which is His body, the fullness of Him. Colossians, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, in all things He might have the preeminence. Well, we know from Ephesians 1 that His preeminence in all things is toward the church, giving Him to be head of all things to the church. The church, which is translated in the Greek term ecclesia, simply means called out. It goes further. It means to call together, to assemble, a congregation. It actually means, in the most perfect sense, the assembling together or the assembling as one. Do we understand that? Why must the church assemble as one? Because ultimately the body is one. So wherever there is a manifestation of that one body, it has to be through people who are assembled as one. Not just assembled in one place, but assembled as one body. It is not just assembled in one town or in one building or one living room. You can get a lot of people assembled in one place, but they're not assembled as one body. Now, I'm not going to just get off on this, because it is not just assembling, but assembling as one. Why? Because the pattern is set in the heavens. And therefore, whatever is seen in the earth must be according to the pattern that is established in the heavens, that is, in the mountain. The pattern was first established in Mount Sinai, in part, yes, in type, but now that full pattern is being established in Zion and in the revelation of Jesus Christ. For He is appearing in Mount Zion. Our gathering in the earth, whether it is by twos or threes or fours or by that many hundreds or thousands, must be according to that pattern, or it is an illegitimate gathering. So it is not just getting people together in a building, but the assembling as one. And therefore, it is truly the ecclesia, the called out, the assembled together, the congregation, those who are gathered according to time and place. And that time and place not being a natural time or place, but expressed on the earth according to the spiritual pattern. But it has to do with the local church. It is taught throughout the Bible to where these local expressions of the one body are in different towns, different cities, different places throughout the whole earth. There may be different ministries functioning there. But each of these are there to be an expression of the whole. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and from verse 12 through 27, you have the teaching concerning one body of Christ, that universal church. I hate that term, but that one body of Christ, which is throughout the earth, and which is established in Christ in heavenly places. You have that teaching. But in verse 28, you come to the ministry, and the term is church, which is ecclesia, the called out. It has to do with the local congregation, or several local congregations, such as the church may be. God hath set some in the church. This is not the same translation as the word body. This is not soma, church. This is that local church, that expression of the one body. Regardless of how many members, or regardless of what kind of place they're meeting in, the emphasis is upon who is meeting, not what they're meeting in. And the order of their meeting, which is first Christ. We must understand that. And then those who gathered together in the knowledge of Christ, that is, in the name of Christ. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord says. In the understanding of the Lord, they are gathered together as one having one understanding. There I am in their midst. That's the local assembly. It's not an oversimplification of that. I'm simply giving you the foundation of what creates that local assembly. Yes, there must be a headship there because it is an expression of Christ, and Christ is both headship and body. He is both ministry and members. He is all of that. But nonetheless, that local expression is to be an expression of that one body. So in one place, I'm skipping some of this, so in one place you find the setting of ministry, or ministry is set in the local church. And the other place you find the purpose of Him setting ministry, the purpose for which He has given ministry. And we might call this the various functions of Christ as we have in our search on ministry here. And that purpose is the building up of the body of Christ, not just running local churches, but ministering in local churches for a purpose, to an end, to a stated end. The end always, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the building up of the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose in many cases, in my meetings and tapes and places, I've emphasized the purpose of ministry in such a strong degree that some, without a hearing ear, possibly have heard the purpose and have decided that I am just saying that ministry is given to the whole body of Christ and that there's no need for a local body. That is not what I am saying. Ministry is set in the local expressions of the one body for the building up and edifying of that one body. This is the ministry. This is the work of the ministry, even for which every function in the body or in the church is set. Local ministry in a local expression to the whole body of Christ. But I want to set the record clear. Ministry is set when I minister. Where do I minister? I minister in a local expression of Christ. If there's not a local expression of Christ in that place, then I'm set of God for a purpose to bring forth such an expression in that place. and then to minister and to feed those in that place. But my ministry in that place is not to me. It's to the whole body of Jesus Christ. How do I minister to the whole body of Christ? Through the local expressions of that body. Oh, my. I do think the local expressions of that body. Do I think the local expressions of the body of Christ are necessary? Absolutely. So much so that I'm given to those local expressions. And to seeing those expressions come into being where there is none. But I do that not just to set up another church, but to give expression in that place of the whole body of Christ. Who is the whole body of Christ? It is the fullness of Christ Himself. So what would be the purpose of establishing a local expression anywhere? That there might be an expression of that fullness of Christ in that place. So that through establishing ministry there, and then ministering there the measure of Christ that is in me or in you, that local expression that is set there for the purpose of manifesting the fullness of Christ may itself grow up into that fullness. You can't manifest what you've not grown up into. Do I believe in the local church? You might as well ask me if I believe in Christ. Certainly I do. It is the manifestation of Him. But its purpose is just that. Its purpose is to manifest Him. Because the local expression is just a part of the whole body of Jesus Christ. It is not other than the whole body. It is a part of the whole body. There are not two churches, universal and local. There is just one body of Christ manifested throughout the earth in localities. But in order for those localities to be called the church, they must be a genuine manifestation of Him. And to be a genuine expression of Him, the gathering must be upon and in the one foundation. Now, that's all I'm going to read here today to you guys. I'm going through it. But I want to emphasize something. The one foundation is Christ. But it's not Christ theoretically, is it? It is Christ revealed. Upon this rock, upon this foundation, I will build my church. I don't build churches. You don't build churches. Paul didn't build churches. Paul didn't go out to set up churches. He went out to present the person of Christ. Those that were drawn to Him. Those who are drawn to Him and are set upon the foundation of Him, they are the church. You do not build a church, set up a church. We present Christ. We minister Him. Those that are drawn to Him are in that place and in every place, they are the church. They are the church. I was telling that to the precious folks in Costa Rica on my last trip down there, which has been back last year now. These are they to whom I was speaking that had seen Christ. A small group. They'd seen the Lord. They were committed to Christ who was revealed in them. They were committed to one another. They were committed to telling their friends, to having outreach. They were committed. They were committed to this fellowship and are now committed to this fellowship, for they do all of the translations into Spanish, you know, for us. But they ask questions. And some of their questions was along the line of, whether they're exact words, along the line of, do we have a right together? Do we have a right to teach one another? Do we have a right to invite others to come and hear? Do we have a right? And my answer to them was, you are the church. You are the church. Not just you are the body. No, no, no. Now, I'm not trying to confuse anyone, but to me, the church, the body, is what most people call the church universal. There is no such thing as church universal. There is a body that is, well, universal. It's more than that. It's the body of Jesus Christ sitting in heavenly places. In the realm of the Spirit, there is one body. That body has expressions in the earth, and there it is called church. Church. There is but one church. But that church is expressed throughout the earth. The church, if I can say it without maybe getting in theological trouble or whatever, the church seems to me to be the earthly expression of the heavenly body. It is in the church that God has set this, that, and the other. Why? Because the church is the arm of ministry. But it is for the edifying and building up of the whole body. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It does so by the functions that are set there. But those functions, as we have seen here, and through Jim's teaching and through our searching, those functions, though there are many and varied and different, all are for one, they're toward one purpose. And they only fulfill that one purpose when by those functions there is a genuine working of the ministry. And the working of the ministry is through the saints. And that is toward the building up of the body of Christ. And that includes every believer, see, in the knowledge of Christ and in the fullness of Christ. Not to make such a great distinction that we try to just draw it black and white and make a line in the sand, but honey, to me, when the church is, when the body of Christ is edified, the church is strengthened. Now, you know what I mean by that? I mean that most people's idea of the church is something that is separate from Jesus Christ waiting on a rapture. Or that it's separate from Jesus Christ waiting for Him to come and take it somewhere. To me, the church is simply and yet profoundly an earthly, an expression on earth of a body, of the body of Christ, that is in the heavens. Heavenly body. See? Heavenly body. And it's made up of all believers. Consequently, the church's ministry, though it's on earth, is for the edifying of all believers. Building up of all believers. The work of the ministry is to bring every believer into the fullness of Jesus Christ. In so doing, that body, you see, that heavenly body, is edified. Well, when that heavenly body is edified, honey, it's gonna have an effect in its various expressions. But we go about it backwards, it seems to me. We're trying to build up the church, so we institute this program and this building and this and this. We're trying to make this church strong. That church is a manifestation of the body, which is believers. If you want to make the church strong, then have believers who are growing in Christ. If you want to make the church strong, then as the church, minister to the body that's sitting right there in your midst and that it's also in heavenly places in Christ. Minister to the body of Christ. If we want to get real specific about it, hon, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I hope you do. I'm not saying that the two are different, but one a visible expression of the other. And it's the feet of His body that we wash, and that's through the loving of one another and the ministering to one another, the very reality of the living Christ. But I'm telling you that that is the purpose of the local gatherings. That's the purpose of the church. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So when the body is strong, the expressions are strong. When the body is weak in the knowledge of the Lord, the expressions are weak in the knowledge of the Lord, and in many cases, turn to something else for their greatness or their growth. We have church growth programs. The only growth program for the church is the body growing up into the head in all things. I keep wanting to use the term reflected, but it's more than a reflection. That is expressed in the church. So, my point is, you want a strong local church? Let everything be toward the edifying of the body. The believers. The believers. Those that every believer see Christ, and as every believer begins to see Christ and be gathered together upon one foundation, which is Christ, the local gathering will express that, and it will express it to the ends of the earth. One thing the Lord did make real to me so long ago was if I want to minister to the whole body of Christ, I do it to that body that is before me. I do it in that local expression of it. I'm not there to build up church programs. I am there in that, if you'll permit me, there in that church to in that church minister to the Lord's body. And when you're not just there to minister in that locality, but you're there in that locality to minister to them as the Lord's body, then you see, hon, you cannot strengthen any one part of the Lord's body without actually strengthening all of it. And that's a reality we need to get a hold of. Now, there's a conclusion to all of this with me, and I'm going to read that to you. It would make a lot more sense to you if I went through the whole lesson. At least you'd know more where I'm coming from. But I want to ask a question based upon certain truth. Seeing that there is but one body, having or being that one body, having or being several in its expression in the earth, and seeing that that body is one with Christ, and seeing that the church and the body are one and the same, one being the visible expression of the other. And seeing that Christ is the fullness that filleth the whole and all the parts. And seeing that Christ is the one and only foundation in which and upon which that body as the church is established, is gathered and established in the revealing of Him and seeing that in Him the pattern given of God, in other words, the spiritual order of our lives, and that God accepts no other pattern, and seeing that for the new covenant church, God hath spoken in Son, showing that Christ alone is the one word of the new covenant. How can we, being one, here's the question, presume to think that God would speak to us, that He would lead or guide or direct us in any manner which is less than or other than the revealing of His Son? The Word, the only Word, by which our mind is renewed and our soul is transformed. Not by dreams or visions or prophecies or promises, all of which our soul can pervert and use for self-gain or self-interest, all of which fall short of the perfect Word of God. Maybe it's possible in a believer in whom the foundation has not yet been laid, who sees themselves as something other than that one body of Christ, though it's having many expressions, yet being that one body of Christ. But in the light of Ephesians 4:12 through 16, there can be no other way for God to lead, guide, direct, or minister to that body. And I'm turning to that just now, except through the revealing of His Son. 12 through 16. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, and that means every believer, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What I question, and I haven't had reason here in this place to question it, but what I question in this search that I'm looking at, folks, is how believers who are one body, that body being Christ's body, Him the foundation, Him the head, the whole thing coming into that. And I cut everything I wanted to say really short, but How can we understand that we are the one body of Christ, regardless of where we're meeting, regardless of the place of expression, that we're the one body of Christ, and that body having one head, one foundation? How can we look for the direction of our lives from any other source than the revealing of that very Christ in us, who through that revealing does not simply give us answers or what we think might be answers to questions. He transforms our mind with understanding. He transforms our soul as to the very motivations of our heart. There's so many believers who want to be the body of Christ when it has to do with areas of, position of relationship or ministry, but will look. It's like me and Jesus got our own thing going when it comes to personal, let's put it that way, and individual directions. Well, the Lord directed me here. But is that for your good or for the good of the body that the Lord did that, see? It seems we're able to just kind of step in and step out, step in and step out. In many cases, and I'm saying, I'm not talking to you here, and I really am. I am not. But that goes on with so many. And I know I've been a long time, and I'm going to quit here. It's time to quit. But after I had the conversation yesterday, and I reread this manual, and I saw, I was correcting it and going through it and making adjustments, but I saw that there's no way that we can function as the body of Christ in a local expression or in any expression until the foundation is laid in us. And that's what I go on to say here. Until Christ is revealed. He is the mind of the body. He is the mind of the body. And the more I see Him and my relationship with Him, the less I am able to live as one who has His own body. The more I am constrained of the Lord to live as one who has no body, but is the body of Christ. And it is in that union with Him that we find our relationship together. See, I don't really find my relationship with you in new birth. I find my relationship with you in the realization of that union, we are one body. And I think when we come to that, the direction of the Lord in our life ceases to be through these little individual impart ways. I think our direction comes right out from His mind, knowing that His mind is always for the good and the strength and the edifying of His body. Amen. Well, all right, that's enough.